All right, so we'll start the bottom of the two dots, the bottom of.
Got it.
Bottom of Nukim Alamed Beis, the two dots. So, Boy Rabbi Lazar, Bachnia, Ish Lamazonot, Ein Lamazonot. So, we discussed yesterday, towards the end of yesterday's daf, whether certain children or certain women are entitled to Mazonot from their ketubah, depending on what there was an issue, whether it was a Yavama or whether it was a Bat Yavama, whatever Mema Enet. What was their entitlement to Mizonot? So here the Gemara asks, Rabbi Elazar asks, a bad Shnia. Shnia is the reference to Shnia li Arayot, right? These are Arayot mi derabbanon. So even though the Kedushin Atovsim, she loses her Ksuba because we want her to, we want him to divorce her. We want him to, the whole point of a Ksuba is to make it difficult for him to divorce her, meaning that there's a monetary incentive not to divorce her. But here we do want him to divorce her, so we eliminate that monetary disincentive for him to divorce her. So Bar Rabbi Elazar, Bat Shnia, the daughter of a Shnia, so she's entitled, technically should be entitled to Mizonot if her father passes away. Yesh LaMizonot, Ein LaMizonot. Kevin, the late law Ksuba, since her mother is not entitled to a Ksuba because, right, she's married to a Arayos de Rabbonon, Leis LaMizonot, she's not entitled to Mizonot. Oh, Dilma, Ima de Abdo Yisuro Kansu Rabbonon. No, the reason that she loses out, her mother loses out her Ksuba is because of Knas, right? It's a fine for her doing something wrong, marrying a Shniot Liorayot. Ihi de Abdo Yisuro, the daughter who did nothing wrong, right? Right? Lo Kansu Rabbonon, they did not place this Knas upon her. The Gemara concludes Teku. I'm uncertain about the answer to that. Bai Rabu Bada Russo, Yeshlo Mizonot,
and the Mizonot. She's not a mamzeres.
Right. She's right. I mean, technically, she's not a mamzeres. She would only be midir abonon, right? And so, therefore, maybe she should be entitled to mizonot. But the fact is, the question is how tied or how closely tied are mizonot to the ketubah? I mean, it's an entitlement of the ketubah. It's a tnai of the ketubah. So, when the chachamim eliminated the ketubah, did they also eliminate this tnai of ketubah, or can exist independently? Yeah. Even though she's, like we said before, she was mochel or ksuba, or other ways that she can eliminate, the woman can eliminate her ksuba, do the mizonos or other that's naim of the ksuba survive the core ksuba being eliminated. Right, so, batarusha, ish la mizonot, dein la mizonot. So here, they were, let's again use the word term loosely engaged, right? They were had kidushin, but not nisuin, and they had a daughter prior to the completion of their marriage, prior to the nisuin, right? So by the Rusa, Yesh La Mizonot, oh, Ein La Mizonot, right? So does this daughter in title to Mizonot? Why? Because Kevin Dizla Ksuba Isla. Since the woman will get a Ksuba out of a Rusin, therefore the daughter will also get Mizonot. So Dilma, Kevin Tlo Takin Rabban Ksuba Achat Nisuin. Maybe since the takanas chachamim for a ksuba wasn't until the completion of the marriage, right? Leislo, she's not entitled to teku. So the question is, why does she have a ksuba? When the Gemara says that she is entitled to a ksuba here by Russo, we just said that takanas chachamim is that ksuba only applies by nisuin. So why is it by Russo that she has a ksuba? So the Rashi says, if you look in Rashi, second to last wide line, came in this la ksuba, kagon, she cut of lamine rusin. He wrote her a ksuba already from the time of Erusin. He gave her a ksuba, even though he's really only entitled to ksuba from the time of Nisuin. He did that. Or Inami, Rabbanan Tikva Nam Li Arusa. Rashi says maybe the Rabbanan were also mitakin that Arusa gets some form of ksuba, even though technically the ksuba really goes into effect at Nisuin. And the real aspect that goes into effect at Nisuin is the dowry. And that the husband is only entitled to the dowry after Nisuin. So, Chas V'Shalom, a woman passes away from Erusin, right? Then the Baal, her husband does not inherit his wife's, at the end of 2 days ago, but does not inherit his wife's ksuba in that instance. Okay, so Mar says, Teku again, it's inconclusive. So, Boy Rapapa, Bata Nusa, Yesh Lamizono, to Ein Lamizono. This is a case, so a woman who was raped, right? And from that marriage, or even later on, they have a child, a daughter, right? Because what's the requirement of Anusa? Anusa is that he has to take her the rest of his life, meaning that he has to marry her.
Right.
So, Oinla, Mizonos. Aliba to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Loti Bailach. Right? Why? According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, there's no question. Why? Because when he has to, once, during, at the time of the rape, he has to pay a fine, a katzer, right, that he pays to the father, which is the equivalent of kesef ksuba, right? The kesef ksuba he pays out to the father. And then we don't need a disincentive for him not to divorce her because he's not allowed to. The Torah says, lo shalchu koyimav, that he's not allowed to, once he takes her as a wife, he's not allowed to divorce her. He has to keep her the rest of his life. So according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, even though that he pays the knas to the father up front, he nevertheless, the woman gets, amar yesh la ksuba zmana, she still gets a ksuba of amana. According to Rabbi Yosef, it's clear that she's entitled to ksuba, even though technically he paid out the kesef in the beginning to her father. Nevertheless, she's entitled to ksuba. She's entitled to ksuba, then the tnai ksuba is that her daughter will get mizonos. So from that aspect, it's not even a question. But titi bailach, the question comes up, alid derabana. Damre yatza kesef kantsa b'ksubasa. That what? That the money that he pays out for the fine, right, is the equivalent of the ksuba, the money of the ksuba, and that's done already. Ksuba's done. And again, the disincentive for him to divorce her is there already because he's not allowed to get rid of her. So my, what's it din? Came into Leisla Ksuba, Leisla Mizonet. Maybe because she has no Ksuba, there's no Tnai Ksuba, there's no, that the Mizonos don't come to the daughter. O Dilma Ksuba, Taima Mai, Kadesh Lo Takala Bein Av Lo Tzia. What's the whole purpose of a Ksuba? The whole purpose of a Ksuba is that he won't just divorce her all of a sudden because there's a monetary disincentive for divorcing her. He'll think twice about it, right? He can't. The reason she doesn't get Ksuba here is not because she's not entitled to Ksuba, or not entitled to all the Tznaya Ksuba. It's because, what? It's not necessary over right here. But there are other things. But Mizonos would be necessary, and therefore maybe they survive, right? They are still there, even though the main Ksuba is not there. So again, Teiku. It's inconclusive. The Gemara has no conclusion to this. All right. So now we had earlier in the Mishnah, right? In the Mishnah it said that an almana can stay in the estate and eat from the estate, right, until she collects her ksuba. The question of whose choice that was a machlokas between the Anshe Yehuda and the Anshe Yerushalayim. Anshe Yehuda says it was up to the Yisomim, right, it was up to the orphans to decide whether to pay out the ksuba or let her stay in the estate. Anshe Golil and Anshe Yerushalayim said no, it was up to the almana. If she wants to stay, she can feed off the estate. If not, she can what? She can take the payment of her ksuba and leave the estate. Right, so that's now the Gemara is going to discuss what's the halacha. Tani Rabbi Yosef, bebeiti velo bebikati. So what? So it's only if there's a house, meaning that if there's a house, then she can stay in the house. Meaning that at that's the lashon haksuba at heyatva bebeiti. You can stay in my house, but so then at that point you can force the yorshim to let her stay in the house to live according to her, you know, her standard of living that she's used to. But if he only has a bikta, so Rashi translates bikta as a tzrif tzarev a katan, a caravan, right? The equivalent of a caravan, a little hut.
Caravilla.
Right? Caravilla.
They know the home is where the heart is.
Tzarev katan. So there, we don't obligate the Yisomim to squeeze her in and fit her into the house. There we see. So even though there she's not entitled to stay in the estate, avo mizone isla. He's allowed. She's still entitled to her mizonos, meaning that if she takes a payout of her ksuba, then she's no longer entitled to stay in the house, and also no longer entitled to mizonos. But what happens here, where her entitlement to stay in the house is not because she's taking a payout of the ksuba, but rather because there is no house, right? So therefore, the Gemara says, even though she does, there's no house for her to stay in, she's still entitled to mizonos. Marba Ravashi Amar Afilu Mizone Nami Leisla. No, if we can't fulfill the ksuba by saying stay in the house, we also can't fulfill the ksuba to pay her out of Mizonos. She's got to take pay out of her ksuba. The locha is not like Ramar Baravashi, but rather like Rav Yosef, that what she still is entitled to Mizonos. Those are two separate tnaim of the ksuba. One is that she stays in the house. Number two is that she gets Mizonos. They're independent of each other. Tamarav Nachman Amar Shmua. Tavua li nasei v'nit paisa en la Mizonos. If she was asked to marry, right, then she is no longer entitled to mizonos. Meaning that the point of her ability to stay at the estate and get mizonos is because of Kvod Bala. Right, this is his ex, this is his, not ex, but his wife. She's a widow, and therefore she's entitled to, you know, to live within his estate. But if she already has been asked to marry and agrees to marry someone else, then already her connection to her prior husband, right, has been diminished somehow, and therefore she's no longer entitled to mizonos. But
what about the ksuba? If she
She does get paid out, right? She will get paid out on her ksuba, right? But she loses that right to stay for mizonos and for staying at the house. Haloni t'paisa. Therefore, if she's not agreeable to marry, someone asks her to marry and she's not agreeable to marry her, yesh la mizonos, then she'd be entitled to stay. I mean, if she rejects a proposal for marriage, then she would be entitled to stay and have mizonos. So Rav Anan, the dima farshali mini demar Shmuel, I always explain the words of Shmuel, Amro, machmas ploni, bali yesh la mizonos. Why did she reject the proposal of marriage? If she rejects the proposal of the marriage because of the kvod of her bala, meaning that she thinks that it's a... either this person is not appropriate for the level that her husband was, or it's not, that she's not ready to marry, she's not ready to leave the house of her husband, then she's still entitled to mizonos. The reason she rejects the proposal of marriage is because she feels that it's beneath her to take this proposal, then she loses her mizonos. Meaning that because the reason for her to stay in the estate and get mizonos is because she has no ability to feed herself, meaning that she has no means of providing for herself. So then she's provided out of the estate, right? Because that's the thing of the ksuba. But here, where she has a proposal for marriage, and this new husband will take care of her, right? So therefore, she should no longer be entitled to the mizonos, right, of the estate, because somebody will provide for her. But she rejects it because she says, these people are not, but they're not good enough for me. But that's the reason she's rejecting them, is a personal reason, not a reason, what, of the kvod bala, and therefore she may no longer be entitled to that, those privileges of the estate.
Sounds very difficult in our modern day vision of marriage.
Exactly, I would agree.
It's a business deal.
Right, very much so. And but on the other hand, today, maybe...
The whole concept of, tanti lamenta, it's all based on that,
Right.
It's financially, just in terms of security, it's better for a woman to... We always assume that a woman would rather be married than not married.
Right. I mean, especially because of the ability to provide, meaning that women in general did not have the ability to provide, right? And therefore, they were dependent on a provider. And so either the estate or the husband, so that was part of, Tovla made to undo, was also, based on that woman would, besides the company that you're talking about, but also the idea that she would be provided for, which is an important part. Now, the only, today also you have the other side of that, which is women can, in many ways, are empowered to provide for themselves. So they're not always able to, but they are empowered to, and so you have that side also. All right. Omar of Chista Zint.
You could kind of parallel that to the ability to, an offer of marriage to someone else that, she's declining because, not good enough or whatever. She has the ability to provide for herself. She
Exactly. Right. That's what I'm saying, that you have both sides, meaning that both the idea that she could reject because of status or she wants to be choosy. On the other hand, she also has the ability to provide for herself, which is important. Very good. So I'm going to Zinta in La Mizonos. So after, this is Zinta here, it's after her husband has passed away, right? She has some sort of relationship with one night stand with someone. Then she loses her rights to mizonos, right? Because then, this idea that the kavod bala is no longer sustained with her. Amar Rav Yosef, kichla, pirkasa, in la mizonos. Now, if she's already, dressing up, putting on makeup, and going out there to socialize, that already, again, she's not entitled to mizonos. I mean, that she's already looking for a new provider, and the husband's memory is fading, and therefore maybe she's not entitled to mizonos anymore. He should not be the provider anymore. So Madamar Zinta Koshken Kichla Pirkaso. So one who says that when she has been mizane, then she loses mizonos. So too, certainly if she puts on makeup and goes out and socialize, she will lose mizonos. Madamar Kichla Pirkaso Avazinta Isla. Right. So the one who says that if she loses it when she goes out and socializes, has makeup and all that. But if Zinta Isla, so it'd be almost the opposite of what we would have thought, but if she goes out and has one head stand, she wouldn't, why? My time up, dates are on, so. Right, she was, it was something that overtook her. I mean, if she's putting on makeup and she's going out, that's already a premeditated decision where she's trying to change, her status. She's trying to be married again, right? Whereas here, this was one-time thing. She was lonely, so therefore, dates are on, so she was overcome. That halacha is not like anything that we've just said, according to this whole gemara here, that the halacha is not like any of these memras. Right? The one exception might be, Tosafot points this out, the one exception might be the statement of Shmuel that we had earlier on, about nitpais or lo nitpais. That might be an exception, but otherwise the halacha is not like any of these members. Ela kiha d'amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. Except for this statement of Rav Yehuda Shmuel, tovat ktubata b'beis din in lamizonos. If she already goes to Beis Din to ask for a ksuba, then she loses her right to mizonos. The law, Vatanya, don't we have a braisa that even if mocha ksuba, umashkuna ksuba, asta ksuba putuki, la'acher in lamizonos. If she sells her ksuba, or she makes her ksuba into a mashkun as collateral, or a putuki, which is it's more than a collateral, it's like a mortgage or a strong lien on the property, that it's been yuchad to this loan, the property there, in lamizonos. Hani in, these are the things that cause her to lose mizonos. Abel tovat, lo. But if she goes to claim her ksuba, she doesn't lose her, right? Her rights to getting mizonos.
It's like a letter of credit, maybe?
Which one?
A putiki.
A putiki is more than that. It's that she designates, like her ksuba has certain land that is designated for ksuba. A lien or a collateral is usually a general mortgage on all your real property. Right? A putuki is where you designate what the exact land will be as collateral, meaning that you put the lien on a specific property. So instead of being on a broad array of property, there's a specific location and place that is going to be collateral for it. I don't know.
Footnote says that it comes from apo to hekai.
Right here is the location, right? So you specify the specific collateral.
Contraction acronym?
Those are both fine words, by the way.
Dave, too.
Okay, apo to the achar. Shmuel seems to suggest that once she asks for a ksuba, she loses mizonos. Once she starts to ask for it, then it's done. Whereas here, we see from the Brisa that the things that make her lose her mizonos is when she sells her ksuba, when she does something that shows that she's no longer interested in her ksuba, that does it. But if she just goes to ask for the ksuba, that doesn't, not entitled. So Mar says, no, honey. That's the Mar says, no, we can reconcile these two. Honey ben bebezdin, ben shalob bezdin. These items, whether she sold her ksuba or she gave it as collateral, whether it was done inside of Beis Din or done outside of the realm of Beis Din, there she loses her ksuba. Tovat, based in inch, low based in low. Right, so Shmuel's statement that said what? That when you ask for a ksuba, she loses it, or mizonos. That's when she went to Beis Din to ask for a ksuba. But the Bryce that says, doesn't mention Tovat as a reason to lose her ksuba, that's when she's not in Beis Din. She does it outside of Beis Din, asks for ksuba. There she's still entitled to mizonos until she goes to make the official claim in Beis Din to ask for her. God bless you.
Yes.
Okay. V'kach hayu Anche Yerushalayim. So here we go. Here's the machlokas between Anche Yerushalayim and Shango. Itmar. Rav Amar Alocha ke Anche Yehuda. Rav says the locha is like Anche Yehuda. What? That it's determined by the Yisomim. Shmuel Amar Alocha ke Anche Galil. The locha is like Anche Galil. That what? That the Yisoma gets to decide. Bavel b'chor par v'daha no k'rav. Bavel and all her surrounding cities, meaning all the areas around the area of Bavel, they held like Rav that Yisoma gets to choose. Narda, right, the city of Narda, Bechol Parvada, Nahu Kishmuel, right, this Narda, the city of Shmuel, held like Shmuel, and all the surrounding areas or cities held like Shmuel, that what? It was up to the, right, it was up to the woman, the Amona, to decide which one. So to decide whether she wants to stay in the estate, take her mizonos, or take delivery of her ksuba. Right? So Rav said it's up to the Paskins like the Anshe Yehuda, it's up to the Yisomim to decide whether they want to pay her out or leave her in the estate. And Shmuel says no. So the Rabbeinu Chanan points out that today the halacha today is like Shmuel, except if there's no strong minhag like Rav, then the halacha will be like Shmuel. So if there is no minhag, if there's a minhag like Rav, then they go like Rav, but otherwise the halacha will be like Shmuel. So bat mechuzah, to have a nesiva l'nardo. So now we have mixed marriage. Right? So the problem. You have a bat mechuzah who is in the Bavel area, right? She's in a part of Bavel. That she was married to a nardo that is a Shmuel area. So you have a Rav, right? The Rav, she's from the areas of Rav, but she married to a guy from Nardo. Atul the kemi to Rav Nachman, they came before Rav Nachman Shoma the Kalo, the bat mechuzah. He heard her accent, and he knew that she was from a mechuzah. From her accent, from the way she spoke, he knew she was from Mechuzah. And what does that mean? We pass him like Rav, and so then who's entitled to make the decision? So I'm like, Bavel, Bechol Parvado, Noho Karav. That's dependent on Rav, and that means that the Yisomim, right, the Yisomim can make the decision. The orphans can make the decision. Amrulay, Bahanar Adani Siva, her advocate said, no, she's married to a guy from Nardo. That's the case, then we'll pass him like Shmuel, right? And therefore, what she gets to make the decision, right? Right. So where, how far is the reach of Nahar Dov? Meaning that where, when we pass him like Nahar Dov,
what's the metropolitan?
Right. What's exactly? What's the boundaries? The city boundaries of Nahar Dov, the boundaries that are included. Ad heichan the sogi kava de Nahar Dov. Until the place where they use the measurements of Narda. Narda had their own measuring cups or whatever, the certain measures, the kav of Narda. And if that was the accepted measuring system, then that is the what that'll still be included within Narda. So that's the determination of how far it's considered Narda.
Yeah. So, because sometimes they have, say, a contract that could be in Europe and they go and New York law rules, you know.
Right.
So it's how it stretches out.
Right. Well, there they explicitly state what the locus of the resolution will be. But here, the assumption of what the boundaries of Narada, right, are based on where do people still consider themselves under the rule of Narada in a sense.
Jurisdiction,
very good, of Narada.
Okay.
Itmar, Almono. So right. Now the Almona, when she goes to claim her ksuba, right, what do we include? And that she's getting paid out from the ksuba. What do we include? Rav Amar Shamin Mashalel. That if she has clothing, she has other stuff that were technically belong to her husband. So that gets that diminishes her rights to the ksuba. I mean, if she's out to 200 mana or whatever else from the ksuba, right? Then we take away the clothing that she's wearing when she goes to claim for ksuba. Shmuel Amar Ain Shamin Mashalel. No, in that the clothing that she has on her.
Assuming we subtract, that we take away.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. We subtract. Right, we subject or diminish her monetary rights within the ksuba based on what she's wearing. Right. So I'm Rabbi Chir Ba'avin, b'chilufa b'lakit. And the opposite is true when it comes to the yisomim. So Rab Kahana matni b'chein b'lakit. No, it's the same position by the yisomim. Manach b'simono. Right, he had a simon for that. Yatma v'armarv l'tala. Right, the orphans and the widow, right, sholach upok. You send them out, right, and they go. Meaning that you take their clothing. Again, this is, you take away their clothing and you send them out. Meaning that they're not entitled to the clothing that they're wearing. And if they do take that clothing, then it's, right, subtracted from, deducted from the ksuba. Right. Amar of Nachman, Afa Gabdit Nan B'mas Nisin Kavasid Shmuel, even though the Mishnah seems to, we have a Mishnah that supports Shmuel's position. Hilchasu kavasi derav. The loch is like Rav. Ditnan. We have a Mishnah. Echad amakdish nechosu ve'echad amarech etatzmo. Someone who was makdish all his possessions, or someone who said my value. Right. The parsha of Erechin in Vayikra says my value to the Mikdash. So they come. Excuse me. To take mashkum from him. They come to take the money from him. The Mikdash. Elo lo biksus ishto. He's not allowed to. I mean, when he's makdish his stuff, he's not entitled to makdish his wife's clothing. And not the clothing of his children. Or coloring, meaning dyes that he put in for their name, meaning either dyed clothing, new clothing that he had put in their name. Right. So this is the idea that you put all your possessions in your wife's name. Right. Anything that's in his wife's name or his kids' names, you're not entitled to, that doesn't get, he can't be makdish. That, and the mikdash can't come and take collateral from that, because that's not his. Right, below besandalin chadashim, and not with new shoes. Sukach lishman, that he bought for them, even though they haven't worn them yet. So even clothing that has not been worn, but was specifically designated for them, that's in their name, and that's not taken. So what do you see from this? You see that that clothing already belongs to them. That's not part of the estate.
So if that's the case, then definitely the clothing.
Right, then the halacha should be like Rav, which is what? Clothing. That we don't assess the clothing, right? Yeah. We don't subtract the clothing because it's already theirs. So even those, that's what Rav Nachman was saying. That even though this Mishnah sounds exactly like Rav, nevertheless, we paskin like Shmuel.
Wait, Rav Amar Shaman,
Mashallah. I'm sorry, the other way around. Sorry, you're right. Thank you very much. Yeah, that even though the Mishnah supports the position of Shmuel, nevertheless, we paskin like Rav. That's what Rav Nachman said. Thank you, yes. So I'm like, Rav Nachman, b'yachar d'tznan masizin kavesid Shmuel, amay hilchusu kavesid Rav. If you have a Mishnah that supports the position of Shmuel, then why are we paskining like Rav? If you read the Mishnah fast, it sounds like Shmuel. But if you look more carefully, it's really according to Rav's position. My time, what's the reasoning? Right? When he buys clothing for his wife and his for his children, that's when they're with him. Meaning that he buys it for them, so they should be clothed appropriately and nicely when they're around him. Right? But once he's gone, or if they're going to take the clothing and, you know, head out to the, you know, head out, that's not what his intention is. So that's why the Mishnah is not like Rab, not like Shmuel in the end, it's like Rab. What the whole reasoning why when he's still alive, we say that the clothing belongs to his children or to his wives, because that's in the same sense, it's to service him, meaning that it's still within his realm, right, or within his living arrangement that he wants to have his kids clothed and his wife clothed and have them look good. But once he, if they're going to take off with the clothing, that's not what he's providing them clothing for, or if he's already passed away, right, then his intention is not for them to leave with that clothing and go live somewhere else. So the fact is that that's like Rab, which is what? That once they, since he's passed away, when they're taking clothing, they're taking that clothing out of the estate. Right? So that's, while he's still alive, the clothing's almost, in a sense, part of his broader estate. It's not his direct possessions, but it's part of his broader estate. Once he dies, if they're going to walk off or take that clothing, then it's subtracted, diminished, it's deducted from the ksuba.
It's just another possession that services him.
Right, right, in a broader sense.
Such a mercenary assessment.
Right. It was definitely a different, in some ways, a different social structure.
But it's very interesting. I understand when you're talking about the wife, but you'd think with the kids.
Right, you think, because you care about them, right? Because, you know, you want them to reflect well on you.
So right, right. No. But that will have to do, that's,
not always.
Right, but that will have to do not with Machlokas. Rav Shmuel only argued in Amon of the questions, does it apply to Yisomim and Masa, right? So that was, we had a Machlokas, whether it does or not apply to the Yisomim. So there is room to say that. Right, right, right. Because, right, Yisoma might be much different, because Yisoma, since you're entitled to Mizonos, stuff might also be Taloi on that, right? All right.
I guess it makes sense, though, when you think about it. In other words, it's a symbiotic relationship. Right? If a woman's motivation for accepting a marital relationship is based on essentially monetary considerations, right. So the assumption is it's reciprocated the same way.
Right. The point, the dowry, as well as, you know, who inherits. The ksuba's been indifferent was to create that almost balance of power, because if the dowry would all go to the husband if she passed away, right, then the father-in-law was disincented from giving money. But if it stays within her family, stays with his grandkids, then he was incented to give. So that the chumim almost had to balance out the ksuba by creating the ksuba's been indifferent.
It's not just that it's different than societally, but even more like today, like we look at it in such a, as if somebody is really so mercenary about it, you know, in terms of doing everything, we consider that
frowned upon.
Although there is. I mean, I don't.
You hear people check the DMVs and you get sick, and then you have this.
Although maybe it was on a different level, I guess.
Yeah, but also today, I think there's a reluctance to do prenuptials because of that, because it sounds like, you know, meaning that it's being very focused on the, you know, the monetary aspects and the judgmental aspects. So even though the whole problem.
I think it's a fantastic idea because it's not focused. It's focused on
taking
care of her.
Exactly. Yeah. It also makes it, because usually, thank God, you know, when people get married, usually it's not the issue. It's later on where you can't solve it. If you before the fact deal with the issues, then they do much better. But I'm saying you see many times, not in Jewish marriages, but in many other marriages where there's very big monetary considerations before people get married, especially when wealthy individuals get married. All right. Kalota de Bey Bar Eliashiv Hakava Tava Ksubasa. So the daughter-in-law of the Bey Bar Eliashiv, she wanted her ksuba, right? Miyatme. So she wanted her ksuba, which means she's no longer entitled to what, mizonos, because she's ready to collect her ksuba. Havakama matalahu the beidina, right? So they took her to beizdin. Arme zilolana milsa to tizle hachi. They did not want to pay her out. So it must have been in either in Yerushalayim or in the Galil where she had the option, right? She went in for the option to take her ksuba instead of what, taking mizonos. The Yisomim come to Beis Din to prevent her from taking the ksuba. Why? Because they say that it's not appropriate for her to do this, because she's going to take this and she's not going to live at the standard of living that we think is appropriate for her. Right? So what does she do?
They can always go lifting Mishur Sadin, though.
No, but it's her choice, right? In the Galil and Yerushalayim, it's her choice to take the ksuba.
Right, okay.
I'm saying that it must be in that case where it's her choice to take the ksuba. And the Yisomim are coming to try to block. Right? They're trying to block her taking
and they
mitzvah.
In her best interest.
Right, in her best interest. They're trying to block her and have her keep taking mitzvah so that she won't have to, they think it's going to be beneath her to take the ksuba and then have to deal with the mitzvah issue.
Actually, right? It says, I mean, looking chin with the English,
Just the going to
it
the
means court us court. That you go to court.
To go to court to take the ksuba out.
Poorly it sounds almost like it's saying, this is, people are going to frown upon us.
Right, that we let you go out that way. Right.
Baruch Hashem is staying within the mercenary.
Right. No, but I think that's, the point is, no, that they think it's not appropriate for her.
Yeah,
right.
Okay,
I think we said it wrong. That's not, maybe I said it was in her best interest, but they're upset that she will be in that position, right, and you're saying it because it reflects on them, which is, right.
Either way, we'll go with yours.
No, it's good.
Better.
Because, so what does she do? So she was obviously a smart woman. So she went ahead and wore her entire ksuba. She dressed in her entire ksuba. Basically, she wore the value of her entire ksuba, right? And then, what did she do? At the kamei derav, you know, amar lo yochasu kavasi derav, right? That what? Amar amono shaman mashallah. That she gets that part of her ksuba is what she's wearing. So basically, since they weren't going to the willingness to go, they didn't want to go to Beis Din. So she was smart, and she figured out how to do this. She'll put on the value of her ksuba. She'll go, and basically that'll be it. She has her ksuba, and she can walk out. They don't have to go to Beis Din. She's walking out with her ksuba, basically. So there's a way, either the way that we explained it first, that they thought it was beneath her to do it. She got around it by basically putting on her ksuba and walking out with it. Or if it was beneath them to go to Beis Din, she did it by wearing it again. She didn't have to go and collect the ksuba. She walked out with her ksuba, basically on her. Right? That's how you said, walked out with it on her back. Right? She got.
She left with just the clothing on her back.
Right, exactly. The ksuba worth of clothing.
The wardrobe.
31
outfits. Right. It's Haladamar the Dunya Vrat. So now, what happens if a person who's on his deathbed, right, and he says, this my dowry to my daughter, right? So what does that mean? So Rashi says in Dunya the Brat, Ketsuba mayu takshite abano kachu kach lebushim. There was a fixed amount, meaning that there was a standard of dowry that was given to women. How much jewelry, how much this, that. So he says, before he's on his deathbed, he says, give my daughter, before I pass away, give her the dowry, right, that she should get, the proper
when
dowry.
Shades of
right, exactly. Zal, right, Zal Nadunya. What happens if the value of this Nadunya depreciates? Right, so what was she entitled to? Meaning that when he said that she's entitled to this dowry, is she entitled to the monetary value of that dowry, or the right, or the possessions that would fulfill the needs of that dowry? Right. Uh-huh. So obviously the difference is that the value changes. So that's what happens here. The value of this dowry goes down. Meaning to buy these possessions got cheaper. So who's the benefit? So I'm reading Purna Yatme. The profits go to the Yisomim. I mean that when he said she's entitled to a dowry, it's the possessions that make up that dowry, not the monetary value of that dowry, and therefore the Yisomim end up benefiting in that way. How Amar Lahu? So one person has said, Arba Meya Zuzim in Chamra Lebrat. He says 400 zuz from the wine that I have should go to my daughter. Right? So now when he says that, he said two things. He said 400 zuz, but he also said wine. So what did he give her? Did he give her the wine or did he give her the money? Right, so now Yakar Chamer, what happens if the value of wine went up? Right, so is she entitled to 400 zuz of wine at the time that he said it? So if the value goes up, she really is getting more money now, or was the wine really collateral to make sure that she gets her 400 zuz, and therefore she's really only entitled to 400 zuz no matter what the value of the wine is afterwards? So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rab Chodiyatne, the profits go to the Yat. You're telling him again that what? When he said 400 zuz, he meant 400 zuz, and the wine will act as a collateral to ensure that she gets her 400 zuz, not that she's entitled to the wine itself. Okay, Kravi the Rabbi Yochanan. So this is a case, again, we had this earlier in the week, but that the Krovi Rabbi Yochanan, Havalu Itzat Abba, he had a wife of a father, Tavakam Mifsidam Zone. So I don't know if you remember back then, she was also sick, right? And he gave them advice to what? To go try pay a doctor to take on the thing for a fixed amount of money. He felt guilty about it afterwards. So we said at the time, why is refuah shein la kitzvah, right? Refuah is something that has no end. But you said, oh, it's mizonos, it's no end. So here's a case. Kamasta mizone, she was a big eater. All right? So that was that case, right? I think Dahl used the term elephant, right? So she eats like an elephant, but she was a big eater. So now these Yisomim are up, they're on the hook for, because she doesn't take the Levirik Suba, so watch, now they're on the hook to feed her every day.
Right?
Before your father passes away, right, say to him, that he should designate a specific property for her mizonos, meaning that she should get her mizonos out of this property and not out of the estate as a whole.
Uh-huh.
Right? But that she has to accept it. Right? So out to the Kameh the Reish Lakish. So they told, they went with Rabbi Yochanan's suggestion to Reish Lakish. Mm-hmm. Right? Amar Lahu, Koshikin Shibibala Mizonos. Then you give her even more mizonos. Why? Because the estate is still chayev to provide her mizonos. And that land will just ensure, if they don't give her the full amount, that she can go collect out of that. It's extra collateral. It's not that that's the only piece that she can take her mizonos from. That becomes like a collateral for the excess that she needs.
Backup.
Right, backup. He says, well, Rabbi Yochanan didn't say this. It's a great, you know, when you go for a psak to one rabbi, they go to the next rabbi and say, well, the other guy didn't say this, right? So there's a no-no. Go give her mizonos. I'll pull Rabbi Yochanan out of your... But the idea that that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan, you better go do the halacha like me. So at the time to Rabbi Yochanan, they came before Rabbi Yochanan. Amalu Maaseh, they told him. So they go back, even worse. They go back to Rabbi Yochanan and tell him that Reish Lakish said.
Okay.
So Amalu Maaseh Shekneg Dicholay Kalai. I can't do anything because Reish Lakish, who is the bar plukta of Rabbi Yochanan, right? It's also his brother-in-law. Right? Where they were chavrusas, and he says if Reish Lakish argues with me, I can't do anything. Amr Rabbi Abo, the Dima partially mine to Rabbi Yochanan. I was explained, but I was...
The opposite way we used to, right, with the kids, that the first person says. But no, here it's after what the second person says. It's interesting. Okay.
Amr Rabbi Abo, the Dima partially mine to Rabbi Yochanan. I explained...
Yochanan himself was saying that.
Right. Right. Oh, when they came back to Rabbi Yochanan, he's saying, pass them like they're sluggish. Right. Okay. So he backed off. So Amr Rabbi Abo, the Dima partially mine to Rabbi Yochanan. I was explained the words of Rabbi Yochanan. Amr lemizonos ribo. Depending on how he phrased it, if he gave the land limizonos, then that just becomes extra collateral for her towards her mizonos, right? Riba la mizonos. Amar bimizonos, if he says this land is your mizonos, then cuts la mizonos. Then he cuts its la mizonos. Then he was giving this as the fixed value of what she's entitled to get out of the estate for mizonos. Just to go back now, one difficulty here is, how can he if it's a snaik suba that she gets mizonos, how can he be miyachid her property and that work as her mizonos? Meaning that why, when you have a ksuba, it's not a ksuba, everything becomes, the whole estate becomes collateralized to that obligation. So how is he able to change that, you know, unilaterally change that? So that's what Rashi has to deal with over here. See this Rashi over here, the nachedla. So how did he designate it for her? It's the second, from the second wide lines, and Rashi, from the bottom, second wide lines, the yachedla. He gives a command like a, you know, on your deathbed, you're allowed to give a command with edim. Right? So that she, maybe she will accept it. Not that he could unilaterally make that decision, but she has to accept it as payment for her ksuba or her mizonos. There's a Mishnah in Peah, a kotev called Nechos of Levona, of someone who gives all his possessions to his children prior to his death. Gives all his possessions to his children. Then he writes like a small piece of land for his wife, right? Abda ksubasa. She loses out her ksuba. What do you mean she loses out her ksuba? Ksuba, every piece of property in his possession is, right, collateralized to the ksuba. So that, what's the case there? Rabbi Yossi Omer, im kibla alea afa pishlo katavla. Rabbi Yossi says, if she accepts it, even though he didn't write it. But even the Tana Kamu says he has to write it, she has to accept this as payment. So if she accepts this piece of land after he writes all his possessions to his son and says, this is for your ksuba, and she accepts it, then that becomes the only thing she's allowed to collect her ksuba from. Because what? Then it's not a unilateral decision. It was almost like a mutual agreement that would supersede her lien on the properties through her ksuba. She's almost being mochelet al ksuba. So by accepting this land in place of her ksuba, she's being mochelet the shibud of her ksuba. And therefore what? Therefore he's able to pay her through that. So what Rabbi Yochanan was suggesting over here was the same thing. Give this land to her as her mizonos, right? If she accepts if she accepts this as the payment for mizonos, then you're off the hook. Lishna achrina, another possibility. Tavilei kemechalik nechas of alpiv, right? So it was as if he's distributing his money by balpeh, but not the shor nechas in lebonov. Bavelu mishabde, and it'll become mishabde, meaning what? that when if you sell your land, right, you sell your land, it becomes encumbered, right, land that was encumbered, that was sold to another party. When you come to take it away, only certain documents will let you take that land back when it's now been sold. What's that? That's a ksuba. But we know that the tnai ksuba, like mizonos and ksubas benin dikhun, cannot be taken out of meshavli. It will only be taken out of bnei chorin, those that are still free and clear property. So what does he do? By giving it to his children, it's as if he created a sale to his children. It's as if there was a transaction that took place. Now these become property that is with a third party, and she cannot go and she can take that for ksuba, but she can't take that for her zonos. Veina bonos, vaisha nizonos from mishabde. They can't get their mizonos out of.
It doesn't help for the ksuba.
Right, no, it doesn't help for the ksuba. It helps for the mizonos that she's going to take, because then they don't get fed out of property that was given to a third party. Mm-hmm. Right. The only problem with this is the Masoras Hashas. Rabbi Akiva Eger points out here that Rashi, two dapim ago, said that what? That when we say matana kemecher, when someone gives a gift, it's the equivalent of a transaction, of a business transaction. We only say that when it's given to a third party. But when it's given to your children, we don't say that. Why? Because when you give it to a third party, we assume, why did he give a gift? Because they did something for him. So he's doing that with the benefit that he got. There's a gemira sadas. There is some consideration, right, for the present that he's giving. And that becomes a binding relationship like a mecha. But when he gives it to his children, he's giving it to because they're his children, not because they did anything for him. He's giving it to them because they're his children. And therefore, maybe there's not this mecher. If there's not this mecher, then they don't become mishabdei. Because then it's not like there was a transaction, and then they belong to him. So that's an interesting side note that Rabbi Akiva points out, that it's not consistent within Rashi. All right? But the last thing I would say is that what you mentioned, saw that Rabbi Yochanan was upset about giving this advice by the refuah. But over here, you don't see Rabbi Yochanan getting upset that he's advising them. So why over there was he upset, and over here he wasn't upset? So Ratosis points out that over there he was upset because what? He was doing something that they were going to do. The Yosomim were going to take the action, which was what? They were going to try to pay a doctor to take on her refuah. So they were going to unilaterally do something that was to their benefit, right? Not necessarily to her benefit. Over here, she had to agree to it. Exactly. Over here, right, then since they need her agreement over here, or he's saying to them, giving them a suggestion to go to provide or give her this option, then already that advice is not something where he's, right, korche adayanim. He's giving them a suggestion that will be detrimental to her necessarily. All right. Okay. Let's go. New Mishnah. So this is the Mishnah we quoted earlier this week, which was Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir, the argument about a ksuba. What's the entitlement? So if a ksuba gets 200 and almana gets 100, he can add on as much as he wants on top of that. All right? If she is widowed or divorced, right, then whether it's from a rusin or nisuin, she's entitled to the ksuba, the entire ksuba, both the core ksuba and that which he added on. No, if it's from the nisuin, what then he gets the whole amount. Then she only gets the core ksuba. The additional amount that he adds on top of the ksuba is only because of the either chibas bio or for the conclusion, the consummation of the marriage that he adds that on. Same thing as the dowry that her father gives. Dowry that her father gives only is inherited by the husband after nisuin. During erusin, it's not there. You have to get to that point in nisuin to get the extras. But the kor ksuba exists even though. But now, because the only reason he gave her that extra was in order to what? Have a consummation of the marriage, complete the marriage with Nisuin. This is what we had this week. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, you can write a ksuba of 200, and then she can write a receipt that she received 100 of it. Right? So the ksuba still exists, but he's just what? She's basically remokal on a portion of the ksuba. Or you can write a ksuba for an amana for 100, and she writes, I got a receipt for 50, meaning for half. Right? Rabbi Zuz. Rabbi Meir Omer, kolapoches, the besula mi matayim, le amana mi mana, or is it bilas nus? If you reduce the ksuba, if she doesn't get a full ksuba, it's bilas nus.
And so therefore, he's required, you know, Pilacha to give her matayim.
Right.
But she could say, okay, I got 100 already.
right, right. That's Rabbi Yehuda says that.
I'm 30 years old. I want to get married.
Again, Rabbi Meir, it's unclear what Meir's. I mean, according to Tosfos, it's unclear what Rabbi Meir's position is. Either Rabbi Meir's arguing that core assumption of Rabbi Yehuda, that even a receipt that says that I received it is pogim the ksuba, and therefore it's not a real ksuba.
It's like a harama.
Right. So that you're not allowed to do that because it's pogim or ksuba. Or Rabbi Meir may even agree to Rabbi Yehuda's position, as Rabbi Meir says that if you reduce the ksuba,
if you don't do it that way.
Right.
If you just give her a ksuba for 100. That's
exactly. So that on Nun Aleph, that's what Tosfos deals with in Rabbi Meir. He's trying to determine what's Rabbi Meir's real position here, because part of it is Rabbi Meir says it's a bilas nus. Why is it a bilas nus? What gave him the power to make it into a bilas nus? That's what Tosfos is trying to deal with in Nun Aleph, and therefore he's bumping around with what is Rabbi Meir's position.
Yeah, you know, if a woman doesn't know where her ksuba is, then they're not allowed to be together.
Right, but that's the question, what Gemir has to ask. And that Tosfos over there is saying what? That a woman will not really consummate a marriage with a man unless she gets her full ksuba. I mean, that she has her mind on having a full ksuba. So therefore, if she doesn't get a full ksuba, she's not going to really be willing to get married, and therefore it's a bilas nus. I mean, is that a fact? Or even if she is mochel, meaning that according to Rabbi Meir now, it seems that even when she gives back the receipt and pogain her ksuba for 100...
Right, but it's kind of like you didn't say by gambling, right? So he gives you the money.
Right.
He doesn't really want to give it to you.
Right.
He's compelled to. So, you know, but you know, I've got muffle on it. But,
right.
Do I really want to be muffle on it? No. I'm 30 years old. I don't want to get married.
So that's a possibility. Right. That's how you can explain to Rabbi Meir that even when she gives the receipt, even though she gave it willingly, she won't have that Gemir Sadas, and therefore it'll be a bilas nus.
That's you're willing to. She thinks she has no choice.
That is the one side. Very good. So that is the one side in Tosfos. That we say that's why it's bilas nus. The other side in Tosfos says no. If she accepts it, right, like Rabbi Yehuda's position, then even Rabbi Meir would agree that it's okay. It's not a bilas nus because she accepted it. I mean, she will have Gemir Sadas even though when she gave the receipt because it was a willing thing. Only when he reduces the ksuba will she not be somech on the ksuba. Right, she's somech on getting what the Chum told her she could get, which is 200.
Right. Right.
So that's the two sides in Tosfos and in Aleph about this position. Right, I will do the Gemara quickly, and then I'll come back to there's a very, very important Tosfos, Achol Pi here. This Tosfos here is a very important question. Pshita. So Gemara says, Pshita, what's the question? Right, about if he wants to add on, he can add on. I mean, why is that an issue? So Gemara says, Madu Tena Kitzuta Abdu Rabbanan Shaloi Vaish Mishenlo. And the Chachamim said that it'll be a fixed amount for everybody, so there'll no busha. I mean, that there'll be an objective standard in ksuba, so nobody will be, all the women will have the same ksuba. Mashmalon, that's not the case that we talked about earlier this week again on the Gimel, that the father should have his daughter be right in a position where they want to marry her, so they'll give extra money into the ksuba. So now, Rata in Ratzalosi, Rata lichtov la. Right, loktani ella rata lahosi. It doesn't say he wants to write for her, but rather what? To add on to her. What, you have a question?
Yeah, I just was wondering if we should start this tomorrow, since it's.
We could. It stops. There's a stopping point three lines into the top, because we have a little extra time. I think because they're going to start a drop late today.
Because we're not going to start late.
Oh, you're going to start on time.
But it's okay. We still have time.
Oh, yeah. We still have 5 minutes. All right, we can get through. All right. So rata hosi loktani. It doesn't say that he wrote her a new document. I mean that they're not two contracts. There's not a contract for the ksuba and a contract for the hosafa, the additional part above the contract. Elo, what? The hosi, meaning it's an extension of the original ksuba. So what's the difference? What's the difference if it's two separate documents or it's an extension of the original ksuba? Then does it have the same rights as the ksuba? So that's what. Misayle the Rabbi Aibo. I'm a Rabbi Yanai. What? I'm a Rabbi Aibo. I'm a Rabbi Yanai. Snai ksuba ki ksuba domi. That anything that's a condition of the ksuba has the same tokef as the ksuba itself. Right? So nafkamino. What's the nafkamino of that? What's the nafkamino? Lemocheret ulemochelet. Lemoredet ulepogemet ulotovat uloveret aldas. Leshevach, leshvua, leshvis. Lekotev konachaz levanov. Legavot mina karka umina biziboris. Lechozman shibes avia uleksuvas bidin dechrin. Alright, so all these items, right, are entitlements of the ksuba, we'll go through each one of them, are entitlements of the ksuba, and therefore the nafkamina is that if she did something to her ksuba, or the ksuba entitles her to something, the hosafa will also be included in this area. So what are each of these things? Lamocheret, what does it mean that she, right, what happens when she sells it? What happens when she sells her ksuba? Or she's mochel on her ksuba, right? So when she sells her ksuba to somebody, or she sells mochel her ksuba to her husband, that means the entire ksuba. Doesn't mean that she just sold the core ksuba. It means that she sold the ksuba plus everything that was in addition. So if she went ahead and sold it to a third party, then in case he dies, that her husband predeceases her, that he'll collect her ksuba, means not only does he get the 200, he gets the entire hosaf on top of that. And it's one document. Or mochelet, if she's mochel to her husband or ksuba, right, that not only is she mochel the what? The core ksuba, she's mochel even the hosaf, because they're one unit. They're a single unit, not two separate parts of the ksuba. Limoredet, what's a moredet? Right, someone who is moredet al-bala. Someone who is not the Mishnah, we're going to see this in Samach Gimel, that she somehow is defying her husband. The Gemara there has a machlokas about what moredet is. Either she's not willing to have relations with him, or other reasons that she's somehow not listening to her husband. Right, so therefore poked in lab ksuba. So they fine her by reducing her.
Another difference.
They fine her by not listening to her ksuba. So how much can you reduce the basuba? Don't say that the reduction can only go against the core ksuba. They can reduce even against the osafa, the ksuba. Pogemes. What's pogemes ksuba? Right? Someone who says, that she already collected a portion of her ksuba. So then she becomes almost like a modem mixas, and she has to take a shavua to get the rest of the ksuba. So that applies to both sides. Even if she says she only got the osafa's ksuba, or she only says she got the ksuba, both of those will entitle, force her to take a shavua. Lotovat. What's the tovat? As we just said before, in our daf today, that if someone asks her to marry, then she no longer is entitled to mizonos. So too, if she goes to Beis Din, if she goes to Beis Din to collect the ksuba, even if she only goes to ask for her tosefet ksuba, there she's also entitled, right? She's no longer entitled to mizonos. Overet al adat, this is again a mishnah later on, a woman who does not dress appropriately is not sanua, then she goes out without a ksuba, she loses her ksuba, that's a knas of the ksuba, so she not only loses her ksuba, she loses also her tosefet ksuba. Now we'll do the other items, and then maybe we'll do those tomorrow. The important tosefus here is how can he add on? For instance, Gadal, you'll like this a lot. When a person gets married today, right? The ksuba reads like this: that we give a certain amount of money as the core ksuba plus whatever a huge sum of money that is added on. So now tosefus says, what's the problem? That most people, when they get married, don't have that money. Right. They're not that rich. Some people don't have that. So the problem, if he has the money at the time, if he has that amount of money, exactly. How can it be machne? How can she be machne her something that he doesn't have? He doesn't know. Right. Right. Exactly. So it's being told. Tema. The akshav nagu shekotev chatan lekala. Maya Litrin, give her this huge sum of money. Ava bin shalein lo shomer pruta. Even though the guy is worthless, he's penniless, right? Bishloma kashiyesh lo. If he has that money, right? Who mishabed nechasav lezeachov? Then he's mishabed his possessions. So even though he sells these possessions or does other things with it, he's still mishabed his entire possessions to this. That's fine. Lo bin tchayev afilu nevdu elo nechasav. Even if these possessions go away, but kana acherim, and he buys new possessions, hey mishtabdim. The new possessions become the new collateral. Even though you can't give over something that wasn't here, this property wasn't here at the time of the marriage. Nevertheless, you can put a lien on something that's not there. Since she had a lien in the original property, when she comes and buys new property, the lien transfers over to the new property as well. Anything that I in the future will buy, that's part of the lien. That works. Someone has no property now. How can he give a lien on property that he'll possess afterwards? Because there was never a lien on anything to start with. He had no money to have a lien on. He never was obligated to her because he didn't have this money to be obligated to her with. I know Dovar Shalom Bolda Olam. So Sha'al Ri, the Rabbi Elio, Beheshtev Lo, the Metzino Kinyan Azer. There's something like this, right? That a Matana Shomachino, that, let's just get to the answer. He says over here that the Bechol. That we see that you can create a Shibra Guf even when you have, even though you don't have any possessions now. That you have the ability to
lean on me?
Right, exactly. There's a Shibra Guf that can exist, which is on the person himself, then which can transfer onto the property once he equates the property. V'yesh mefarshim, the others say, Kevin the kotev stamash, you call nechosev achreim, lama lo nitzchayim. Hayehodosh, yesh lo nechosev. It's an interesting way. What? That since he says, all my possessions will be collateral for this amount of money that I owe you, he's admitting that he has possessions. So even though technically he doesn't have possessions, even though we know he doesn't have, when you admit that you have something, it's as if you have it. So it's even, it's like, you know, it's almost like a trick. Since he's saying he has it, therefore it's as if she has a lien on what he's saying he has, even though it's not there. And then later on, when he gets those properties, the lien will transfer onto those properties.
That's kind of...
A big haram. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, hadad, to use hadad, spelled the kamei and dummy in that way, if he says it, it must be true, even though we know it's not true.
Right. So this, the Rebbeinu Tam says we have something like this. Rebbeinu Tam Shkofim Bar Shos, that we write with certain things, Ikneti lo arba amos karka b'chatzarai. I give him four amos of karka, but certain things can only be nicknames on with karka. Right? So we say that it goes along with the four amos of karka that I have. So he says, Afkwi shanu yidum shen lo karka. Even though we have no, he has no land. Came into Moses Yeshlo, that's built in Kamei Eidim Dome. Since he admits that he has property, it's as if he has the property, and the thing will work, the whatever they're trying to contract to will work with that property that he supposedly admits to having. The same thing over here. Since he thinks he's admitting they are supposedly saying he has property, even though, or possessions, the lien will lean, go on those possessions. So it's very hard, but it has, you have to deal with this, meaning that most people when they get married do not have enough money or monetary value to cover the value of the ksuba. So how does she have a lien on future property that he then acquires?
See, I would think that there's a difference between saying, I give you something that I don't currently have, or which would seem not to take effect, you know, right, the Dorsal Valley alone, and saying,